This morning, a brand new series, Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, the God-man, Jesus. And we're going to talk about Him over the next 4 weeks. We're going to get to know Jesus better, amen? And this church is going to be very well served if we get to know Jesus better, amen? And it'll be a good thing for us if we get to know Him better. Today, we're going to look at the first part of Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, God-man. It's right on the front of your worship guide. How many, when you opened your worship guide today, you saw the baby pop out inside? Isn't that nice, honey? My wife did that. I appreciate you for doing that. Beautiful, beautiful. But she puts me through grief all week, though. She says, "What do you think about this?" I go, "It's beautiful." "Oh, I don't like it." You know, so back and forth. But anyway, it's pretty today. We're going to talk about Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus, five little letters. One more time. Jesus, five little letters. Let's go now to the message on Jesus Christ this morning specifically. The power of five little letters. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus Christ. And hope you'll tune in and plug in with me this morning. Jesus Christ. He is what it's all about all the year, but especially what it's about right now during this time of year. Of all the titles and different names given for Jesus in the Bible, and by the way, there's over 700 of them, according to biblical scholars. We can think of a lot of them. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first. He's the last. He's Lord. He's Christ. He's Messiah. He's the bread. He's the, you know, the light. He's all these different things. Over 700 names for Jesus Christ in the Bible. But watch it. Of all the different names, Jesus is the name we use the most, isn't it? Say, five little letters. Jesus Christ. It's the one that all the world recognizes. We might say some of these other things, and they might not know. But when you say Jesus, they know who you're talking about. Matter of fact, in this world today, you can talk about God, and they can handle that. You start talking about Jesus a little bit, and they'll either embrace you, or they'll think you're a freak or something sometimes. You see what I'm saying? That name, what? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, His name was not unique. Can you say that with me? When Jesus was born, His name was not unique. It might be unique to us. You know, it's just His name. Nobody else has named that. But not when Jesus was born. Watch it. It was a popular name for boys in those days. You can look back on censuses and ancient writings and ancestries and things like that, and you can see people named their boy when Jesus was born and prior to His birth. They named boys Jesus. Why? Because it's the same name as Joshua, Yeshua, in the Hebrew, Joshua, Joshua. It means God saves. And the thing is, everybody wants to name their boy after a hero, don't they? Say. And that's why they named him after the great general Joshua. That's why we name him, you know, with George Washington, the great general. People name their kids George, you know, like George Beamish. Wave at us, George. See, he's in the house today. Amen? So it was a common name for boys. It means, say that with me, a lot of people don't know this. Say it with me. Jesus means God saves. Let's get it down in our head one more time. Jesus means God saves. So if anybody ever asks, what's that name Jesus mean? Why in the world can't you know that? Say. It means what? God saves. And if you're a Christian, you can say, and let me tell you something, He saved me. Amen? Jesus. That's what His name means. God saves. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the name Jesus stopped being used as a boy's name. You know what? You might be listening today in this audience. You might be listening on radio, television. Listen to me. You might not be a believer, but you got to realize, come on. If you open up the ancient history books and you see Jesus did, Jesus said, this guy was named Jesus, this guy, and all of a sudden somebody comes on the scene named Jesus and they don't use that name anymore. But you say there was never a person named Jesus. Are you crazy? I mean, history itself, that's a little fact I think that ought to help us. Amen? After Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected, His name stopped being used to name boys. Why? Pop it up. Here it is. Because Christians believe no one was worthy to bear that name now. I love the Lord, but I would have a hard time naming my son Jesus. Okay? Jesus Clark. Uh-uh. Ain't happening. Now, a lot of people name their kids Christian, things like that, because that's what we're called, right? But Christians just stop. They would not name their child Jesus. because no one was worthy except him to wear that name. That's what they felt. But also, the Jews stopped using it. Why? Because they didn't believe it was a hero's name anymore. See? Jesus took over Joshua, amen? He moved ahead of Joshua. And they didn't like it. And so they don't name their kids. Just check it out sometime. See if you meet a Jew with his name, boy's name Jesus. I doubt it's going to happen. Okay? Just a couple little facts there. Who named Jesus Jesus? Who named Jesus Jesus? Here's who named Jesus Jesus. Keep moving. God did. God named Jesus Jesus. I think he did a pretty good job. Remember, it was in Matthew, we see the story where the angel appears to Joseph and says that Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. I tell you what, five little letters. God does a good job, you know that? God saves. That's what my boy will be called, he says. We're going to call him Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. That's what his name means, and God named it. Something else about the name of Jesus, it was his mission statement. Very few people, their name is their mission statement. But it was. You met Jesus, who'd you meet? God saves. That was his mission statement. That's what he was all about. He never lost focus. You and I would lose focus if we were God. We would lose focus if we were on this planet. And somebody got in our face and we could just go, I'd lose focus. You know what I mean? I'd burn up, zap a few people. Jesus never lost focus, did he? Say. He had a mission. He came into his own and his own received him not. He came into this world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. His name was his mission statement. Speaking of mission statements, it meant he will save his people from their sins. But speaking of mission statements, Fellowship Church. What's Fellowship Church? Why did we name this church Fellowship Church? I'll tell you why. My wife and I named this church Fellowship Church. Tell you why. Because we wanted a place that was nice and that sounded nice. You can't say fellowship ugly. I go, fellowship. You know when you say fellowship, you got to show some teeth. Amen? Fellowship. It means having things in common. That's what the word in the Bible means. You know what Fellowship Church means to this area? And it means to me. It means to my wife. It means to us that got together on the launch team. It means this. We love Jesus and we love people. That's what I see. When I see that oval, I see we love Jesus and we love people. That's what we're about. That's our mission here. Are you understanding? In case you wonder, what's fellowship all about? Get it down. We love Jesus and we love people. And if it don't have something to do with that, what are we doing with it? Amen? We're not about politics, about game playing. It's about loving the Lord and loving folk. Amen? That's what fellowship means. That's our mission statement. Jesus' mission statement was God saves. And I believe if we love the Lord and we love people, He'll keep working here and we'll keep seeing people saved here. That's the plan. Jesus was a common name in every way. It was just a common name. Why name the Son of God such a common name? Because this, He could identify with people of all kinds. Amen? I'm so glad that a hell-raising teenager with his drunk mama could come to Jesus. Amen? It's hard to believe that He loved us. But you know, we get accepted. Kids can accept it. Sinners, high and low, rich, poor, anybody can accept Jesus. He identifies with everybody. A common name. To this day, the name of Jesus is understood in all languages. You can be listening on shortwave radio. Jesus. Is that true or not? All languages. Boom, Jesus. It's amazing. To me, that's just phenomenal. I'm from North Carolina. I don't figure that out yet. I still ain't figured it out. Why don't they say when they go that? God saves. I mean, I don't understand. Why don't they go, Joshua? It's always Jesus. It's always understood in all languages. It's a miracle. It's easy enough for even a child to say. Children, we've got some in here. Most of them are out back. But if you're, say, under 14, say Jesus with me. Go ahead. Say it with me. Come on. One more time. Say it with me. One, two, three. There you go. Good, good. It's easy enough for a child to say. Roger was telling me he went to doctor's office recently. There's a little girl. Maybe she's the daughter of the doctor. She's a little child. And there's a picture hanging in the office that says, "I love Mommy." Amen. Amen. And it says this. It says, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." It's on the little picture. Even a child can understand it. Even a child can say these five little letters. Are y'all with me today or what? Okay? Jesus. It's easy to understand. Let's keep moving. Five little letters. Let's keep looking. See what we're going to find this morning. Jesus is God saves. We keep saying that over and over and over. We're saved through His name. The book of Acts 4:12. Neither there is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by a man whereby we what? Must be saved. If you come up to me and say, "I was saved in this name. I was saved by this rascal. This guy's name over here." No, you listen. One name you're saved by. That you must be saved by. That's Jesus Christ. God saves. We're saved through His name. We pray in His name. We are baptized in His name. Keep looking. We serve others in His name. Whatever we do it in the name of who? Jesus. That's why I serve the Lord. Jesus, all about Him. It's the only name that matters. It's wonderful. Keep looking. There's hope, power, authority, courage, comfort. There's unity in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing me today? You wonder why we have Christmas every year. Man, are you kidding me? It's all about Jesus. All about Him. Well, what did the New Testament writers and followers say about Jesus? Not the gospel so much as those in the epistles. What did they say about Jesus Christ? And we're just walking through some this morning. Here's what Paul said about Him. Just one passage. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about Jesus. "Who is the image of the invisible God?" That's Jesus. "The firstborn of every creature. For by Him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and by Him all things consist." That's what Paul had to say. Let's look at somebody else. Peter. Okay? Here's what he said. Just a couple of verses. "Jesus is going into heaven. He's on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Jesus. For Jesus received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory." Peter says, "I was there when it happened. A voice out of heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" That's what Peter had to say about Jesus. Look at Jude. Jude said this, "Jesus, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen." Here's what James, half-brother of Jesus, said about Him. He's talking to the brethren. He says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." He's the Lord of glory. That's what James said about Him. How about the beloved Apostle John? He said, "And we know that the Son of God has come. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true, even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Here's what John said in his book of Revelation. He said, "I saw Him, and He had on His vesture and on His thigh a name written." Say it with me. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who Jesus is. You might think, "Clark, you're crazy about Jesus." Yeah, I am. You talk about Jesus like, "Yeah, I do." That's what it's about. And I understand that you might not be on the same page with me yet, but you're going to get there. Amen? If you keep coming here, we're going to keep telling you about Jesus. You mean He's the only one y'all worship and He died on that cross? And that's how you get to heaven? That's how you get there, friend. Jesus. Why would I go searching for somebody else when I've already found King of kings and Lord of lords? Amen? End of journey. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Very satisfied. What did sinners and supposed enemies say about Him? Just picked out some this morning. We're talking about Jesus today. What did His enemies and supposed enemies and sinners say about Him? Here's what they said. Pop it up. Pilate said this. "I find no fault in Him." It's funny how 2,000 years later, people can nitpick Jesus, and people can say Jesus didn't do this, and Jesus wasn't this. It's funny. The guy that held his life in his very hand said, you know what, I've looked at him real good, and I don't find any fault in the man. Did you hear me say? That's what they said about him, Pilate. Pilate's wife even got in on it. Here's what she said. She said to her husband, have thou nothing to do with this what? Just man. Who is Jesus? Was he a fraud? Was he a phony? Are you people all crazy? You following some nut? I don't think so. He changed my life, friend. I'm following a just man. Even his enemies called him that. Look at this one. Judas. What did Judas do after he betrayed him? He said this, I have betrayed what? Innocent blood! The guy closest to him, the guy that stuck him in the back, said, I betrayed someone who was innocent. See, I'm on pretty good ground following Jesus. Amen? You are too. Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. The thief on the cross. What did he say? He looked at Jesus and he said, this man has done nothing wrong. I should be here. We did what we did. But he said, this man hadn't done anything wrong. Then he said this, say it with me if you know it. Jesus, remember me when you enter your... And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. This is what his supposed enemy said. Sinners said about him. How about the Roman centurion? These are Roman soldiers. They hated the Jews. They hated any of this mess. Couldn't stand it. What did he say? He said, certainly this was a righteous man. In another passage of Scripture, it says this, surely, say it with me if you know it, this was the Son of God. I mean, listen, if that's what his enemies and sinners said about him, he's pretty doggone good, wasn't he? Amen? Jesus, the sinless Son of God, spotless Lamb of God. Just five little letters. There's a lot there, isn't there? Well, I want to go right now, and we've got a few minutes left. What was Jesus like? Y'all with me so far? What was Jesus like? That's what I want to know, and that's what I want to leave you with today. What was Jesus like? Because I want to be like Him. Listen, if His friends and people that followed Him said that about Him, if His enemies said that about Him, if His daddy said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, let me tell you something, I want to be like Him. So what was He like? And you might have a different picture of Jesus in your mind, but this is what the Bible teaches. Let's look at it. Number one, He was enthusiastic. Can you say that with me? He was enthusiastic. Come on, you got to help me. Come on, act like Jesus. Help me one more time. He was enthusiastic. People say about me sometimes, you crazy man. You jump up. You got... Listen, I wish I had more energy to do more. Amen? Listen, Jesus was enthusiastic. You see some of these pictures of antiquity painted of Jesus, and it looks like He's lifeless. Jesus was enthusiastic about what He did. Let me show it to you from Scripture. It started out real early. Look at it. As a boy, in Luke 2:49, He said unto them, matter of fact, His mom and dad, they went on back to Nazareth. He lingers behind. He's not even with His family. He's standing there in the temple. He's confounding those in the temple. They finally come back after a couple of days' journey. They see Him there, and this is what Jesus said unto them. He said, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? He had it in him as a kid, man. This is where he wanted to be, Jerusalem. And he was excited about it. Keep looking. In his preaching, he was enthusiastic when he preached, Luke 4:42 through 44. And when it was day, he departed. He went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Stay with us, please. Here's what he said. He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other folk too. But that's why I'm here, man. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. He was enthusiastic as a kid. When he preached, you couldn't hold him back. That's what he was doing. He was traveling, going everywhere. Luke 8:1, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. He wore these boys out. That's what he did. He was enthusiastic. Are y'all hearing it today, say? All right, you think churches that are too alive, they clap there, they say amen there. I don't like that. Well, then you wouldn't like Jesus preaching. That's what he was. He was enthusiastic. He was excited. Amen, praise the Lord. That's what he was. That's him. I know where you come from, some of you. I understand. I preach back home in Rockingham, Sonny, and I love you, Rockingham people, if you're watching video. But, you'll cut this out. It's not here. I love back home, but it's not here. Where somebody might say something, you'll just clap. Somebody might say something, you'll say amen. The musicians will play and we'll thank God for them. You know what I'm saying? I love that. I love the enthusiasm. I love the excitement. And maybe you come from another church and you think we're deader than a hammer. Well, you don't know where I come from, so we're getting there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on. He was enthusiastic. Right, I appreciate that. God bless you. Keep looking. In his ministry, he was enthusiastic. Mark 3:21, and when his friends, these are his friends, heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he's beside himself. That's what they said about Jesus. You know plain English? That guy's crazy. That's what they said about Jesus. His friends even. He's crazy. What's happening? That's what they said about Jesus. You know, that's not a bad thing you could say about me. Gary's crazy. I've had several of y'all tell me that in my preaching. You're crazy. You know what I mean? I want to be crazy for the Lord, not just crazy because I'm a nut. You know what I'm saying? But it's good to be excited. It's a good thing to be enthusiastic. That could be one of the best things for Fellowship Church in this town if we were excited about going to church, excited about coming here on Sunday morning. You know, I want to be here. I want to be a part of the ministry there. That's something that thrills me. It makes me feel good, and I feel a part of that, and that's what I want to do. I'm so excited about it, I'm going to put me a magnet on the back of my car, bless God, or wear a t-shirt or a hat around town. So why not be excited about it? I am. You don't catch me without a hat or something on, you know, because I'm excited about it. Enthusiastic. Jesus was. He was compassionate. Let's keep looking. For the lost. He cared for lost people. Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus had compassion for lost people. That's why we must have compassion. He was compassionate for the sick. Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth, he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. He didn't just go poor, pitiful, he did something about it. You hear me today? That's what he did, he was compassionate. He was compassionate for the hungry. I'm thrilled, I hope that we can get 15 kids that will go up and feed the hungry. It's a great thing, Jesus was. Matthew 15:32, then called Jesus his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Watch this. He said, because they're with me now 3 days and they don't have anything to eat. I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. He said, I ain't sending people that come to me and leave hungry. Isn't that a great attitude, say? That's who Jesus was. He had compassion on people because they just didn't have a meal. So what was Jesus like? Let's review right quick. I hope somebody's taking notes. Number one, he was enthusiastic. Number two, he was, how you doing? How you doing? Are you like Jesus? He was serving. He was a servant. He was gentle. He was meek. He served people. Look at it. He was serving us and serving for us. Matthew 12:17-21, that it might be fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. That's us. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. He's going to be meek and gentle. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he shall send forth judgment unto victory. Verse 21, and in his name shall the Gentiles, that's us, trust. He served us so we could have eternal life. Next, Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was serving, he was meek, he was gentle. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He cared for us. He served his disciples. John 13:3-5. Won't you see this verse? Watch this. Say this with me. Read this verse with me. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God. Stop one second. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew he was God. Jesus knew why he was here for God. Jesus knew he came from God. Jesus knew he was going to God. He was all about knowing who he was. But look, even though he knew who he was, look what he did. Look. He rose up from supper one night. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel. He girded himself and what? After he poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel where he had girded himself. He knew who he was. But that was okay. He served. He washed his disciples' stinking feet. I doubt very seriously we could find very many people that washed my feet in this house. She would. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. My point is, that's the Son of God. Can you believe it? That's who he was, man. He served people. I mean, how's your attitude? Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that for those people. Is that your attitude? Are you like Jesus? Serve, man. Serve, serve. How can I help you? What can I do for you? Can I open that door for you? Can I help you with this? Can I get this for you? Serve. That's what he did. It was great. He served all people. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He was gentle and meek to everybody. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest, Jesus said. Keep looking. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Jesus served. Okay? Keep looking. So, we've seen several things. What was Jesus like? We're getting somewhere. He was courageous. This is my favorite. Can you say that with me? He's courageous. You know, that a recent study said a lot of men don't go to church because they feel like church is sissy-ish. Now, here's what I mean. The delivery of the message. It's weak. It's effeminate. This is what a study said. I didn't say it. Okay? The songs tend to be, just don't relate to men. And so men don't go. They go to church and they see most of the people serving are who? Women. Well, I've said it from the get-go here. We want men at this church. Are you hearing me today? We want men at this church. Hey, let's do something. Would you all do something for me? I don't do this very often. How about, fellas, men? If you're a man, boy, male, let's stand up. Would you stand up? Let me see you this morning. Come on. This is a testimony to Englewood. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I don't do that very often to bother you. I hate that I mess with you like that. But listen to me. Listen. Jesus was a man's man. He was a man. He was courageous. Churches ought to be able to be strong and have men that are serving and working and doing, and the messages ought to relate. Had a guy, I've told this story before. I was at my former church, and I said something about the Minnesota Vikings. I love the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know why, but I do. After the service, some guy came up to me and chatted me from the platform speaking at anything about the Minnesota Vikings. It was just a little story. Well, if that's the kind of church you want, here I'm getting ugly. Where we don't talk about sports, or we don't talk about hunting, or we don't talk about fishing, or we don't talk about having a hard time with our wives every once in a while and them having a hard time with us. If we don't get to talk about cars and things like that, then you need to find another church. Because we just, you know, I don't turn into like some other creature on Sunday morning. Whoop, now I'm the preacher guy. I like stuff, man. I like football, and I like stuff like that. And it can relate. And even, we got women that like football, don't we? Come on. Come on, some women. Come on. You know it. You know it. You know you in the building. Anyway, he was courageous. He could talk to men. He was strong. Look at it. Watch. Watch. In his preaching. How did he preach, man? And all they that were in the synagogue, he went back to his hometown. One of the first messages he ever preached in his hometown, he laid it on them. Because all they wanted was him to do a show and to do some miracles. And boy, he just really got on their case. And all they that in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath in their heart. Look at it. And they rose up. They thrust him out of the city. I've been to Nazareth many times. It sits way up on a hill. They led him to the brow of the hill where the city was built. And they tried to cast him off the side of the cliff. That's a pretty strong wrestler right there. You hearing me? Did they do it? Look. They didn't do it at all. Verse 40 tells us, listen, verse 40 tells us when they tried to do that, he slipped right through the crowd and got away and he went on preaching. Amen? That's who he was. He preached like that. In his stand for righteousness, he was courageous. Did he ruffle feathers? Did he stand for truth? Did he do the right thing regardless? Absolutely. Look at it. Verse 12, Matthew 21. Jesus went to the temple of God. He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made a den of thieves. You think that went over like a lead balloon? And by the way, I'll just say something. We have stuff out there on the back table. I believe Jesus would come here. I really believe this. I believe Jesus would come here because when we have something, a T-shirt that costs us $7, we sell it for $5, and if you ain't got it, we'll give it to you. Most of the stuff we give away. Any videos, DVDs, we do them at cost or below our cost. That was not the situation here. Don't be so narrow-minded that you can't see truth. They were taking advantage of people. They were making a racket out of ministry, and it happens today all over our country. It's horrible. We don't do that here. Amen? Don't do that here at all. We're not going to do that. Okay, but there's nothing at all wrong with getting a gospel message out or having a DVD or having a T-shirt. That's what it's all about. I don't think you'd have any problem with that at all. Got to see beyond that. He was courageous in his ministry. Mark 5, look at this. When he ministered to people. When he was come out of a ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I've got two coaches sitting right over here, but I guarantee it, these two coaches would be scared to death. If this happened to them, you tell me if I ain't right, coaches. Come on, right here. So he got out of this boat. There's this man with spirits that came to him, and he had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not even with chains. Okay? Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked off asunder by him. Basically, he broke the chains. And the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Would Jesus work with people like this? Yes or no? Oh, yeah. Would Clark? Probably not. Amen? Unless y'all were getting my back. As a matter of fact, y'all go first. All right? Anyway. Here's what Jesus said unto him. He talked to him, and he talked to the demons inside him, had a legion of demons inside of him, and he said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. He was courageous. Are you feeling it this morning or no? He was courageous. That's my Savior. Five little letters. We've seen a lot about him. Awesome. I love the Lord. It's amazing. Courageous. He was courageous for his friends. He stood up for his friends. Do you remember when he got word that Lazarus was sick? He still tarried a while. And before he got there, Lazarus had done what? He had died. Verse 7, then after that he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, if we go there, listen, the Jews of late have sought to stone thee, and you're going to go there again? They're going to kill you, man. What do you mean we're going back there? You've got a contract on your life. Boys, we're going to Jerusalem. You in or out? That's our Savior. Courageous, strong. And so he went there, and of course Lazarus had died. And here's what he said. And when he cried, he just spoken, cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was courageous. He cared for his friends. He went there for his friends, even if it cost him, even if it hurt him. He was there for them. That's who he was. Took a lot of courage, man. He was courageous in his opposition to phony religious folk. Now, I could have put a whole bunch of verses up. I just picked one. There's tons of them. Jesus couldn't stand phony religious folk. That's why at Fellowship, we need to really, 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 really work hard at not being phony. Okay? We've got to work hard at that. And I understand some of you coming in here today, you're suspect of me. I don't blame you. That's fine. I just ask you to come back. Come back. Come back. And see if we don't just try to keep being what we are. Now that is, you're going to find warts and wrinkles on me. Okay? It happens. We are going to make mistakes. We're not perfect folk. All right? But we mean what we say. We're trying. Okay? Jesus didn't like phony folk. And I don't want to be phony because then he won't like me. Here's what he said, Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! You're like a whited sepulchre. You look great, like a beautiful tomb on the outside, but indeed appear you appear beautiful on the outside, but within you're full of dead men's bones and you're stinking, man. That took a lot of courage, didn't it? They killed him for saying that. Did you know that? Say that with me. They killed him for saying that. He said it anyway. That's who he was. He was courageous in his mission, the cross. The cross. Luke 9:51, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Say it with me. He steadfastly set his face to go to... Oh, he's courageous in his mission. What was his name? God saves. He never lost his mission statement. He was courageous. He went to Jerusalem. Look at what he told his disciples. This didn't take him by surprise, what happened to him. Mark 10:33, talking to his disciples, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, they shall scourge him, they shall spit on him, they shall kill him. The third day, he's going to rise again." That's what's going to happen. Do you feel the courage? Fellows especially, ladies of course, but fellows, young men, I'd love for you to take pride in your Savior. Take pride in your Savior. There's no reason in the world why you can't be strong. Why you can't be a man. Why you can't have courage. Sometimes we think that's the opposite. If you're a Christian man, somehow you've got to be weak and mamby-pamby. That is a bunch of bull. Come on. Be strong. Be courageous. Be a Joshua. Amen? That's God saves. Jesus. Five little letters. We're done this morning. Last thing is this. He was loving. And Raj, we're going to move. He was loving. He loved his daddy. He loved his daddy. He loved his father. Talked about him all the time. John 14:31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do." Arise, let's go from here. He loved his father. One of my goals in my life is for people to say to me, that man loves his daddy. To me, that's my Father, the Lord. That'd be a great thing to be said of us, right? We love the Lord. Jesus loved his daddy. He loved his disciples. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so that you also love one another." That's why at fellowship is so important, that we love the fellow Christians that we have here that we serve with. It's stupidity. It's horrible when churches fight. Don't you agree? Say. It's horrible. We should love one another. Why? You're my brother. We serve the Lord together. Amen? That's what it's all about. He loved his disciples. Those that worked with him. This morning, I got out here in a pickup truck like I do every Sunday. Four men met me and prayed with me. I love those guys. They love me. A lot of times we pray in the truck and we cry because we love one another. I told Mike and the guys this morning, felt like I had a revival meeting, didn't I? It's beautiful. Then I get out of the truck and I see so many different people and I'll see them working and doing, and I'll sit over there and study and I'll beat my horn, beat and wave at them. Or Kevin or whoever's working or serving or doing. We should love one another, amen, instead of nitpick. Are y'all with me? Say, "Oh, I don't like the way they're doing stuff." Well, they're doing something you ain't. You know? Ugly. That's ugly. I know. It's terrible. But come on. He was loving. He loved his disciples. He loved little kids, man. He loved little kids. So many old people, I hate to say it, but you move to Florida and kids get on your nerves. I understand that. I understand that. I do. I do. But you've got to work real hard at it, because Jesus said that's what the kingdom of heaven's going to be like. That's sort of a sick sense of humor, isn't it? That's what it's going to be like. That's what he said. Here's what happened. His disciples didn't like kids a whole lot either. Look at it. They tried to send them off. And when Jesus saw them sending the kids away, he was really displeased with them. He was ticked off at them. He said unto them, "Let those little kids come to me and don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." We got to love young'uns. Amen? Jesus loved kids. He loved his friends. John 13. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." You know what? He wasn't afraid to show some affection for his friends. Amen? I'm having to learn that. Okay? But I'm learning that it's okay to hug a fella. Amen? Hug a fella. Amen? Cry with a brother. That's not weak. That's strong right there, because that ain't easy. You hearing me? That ain't easy. Jesus let John get right there. Amen? It's the kind of Savior you have. He loves you, man. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen? That's what Jesus did. What kind of friend are you? Stab him in the back? No, we love our friends. Amen? Say, love our friends. Jesus was loving. That's not him, but you could almost imagine it is. You know, that's such a good picture. Five little letters. We're done this morning. I want you to see it. It's my message. He's my Lord. Okay? I love these five little letters. He's my Savior. He saved my sorry, no good tale. That's what He did. I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. Jesus Christ. Call me a nut if you want to. I'm in good company. Amen. Do you love Him today? Feel that in you? I hope so. And maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not there yet. Boy, I'd love for you to get there. Okay? And you got to realize a little bit from the message who He is. But boy, you got to make it personal. You got to let Him come into your life and start speaking to you. And see how much He loves you and how He died on the cross for you. It'll change your life, friend. It'll change you. That's my prayer for you today.